Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as Trey has just read to you, and our theme this morning, it's all a matter of the heart. Please be seated. For all of our builders in the congregation, this will sound quite familiar to you. A house that's being destroyed by termites may look wonderful on the outside with a fresh coat of paint. But inside, yes, inside the house is the problem. And that problem must be dealt with before disaster happens. Likewise, morality is not simply doing which appears good on the outside. That's because every person on the inside has a problem. The problem isn't termites. No, the problem is S-I-N. Sin. Sin is our inside problem. It's our inside job that destroys us. The heart of the matter is that a holy heart is what Jesus is talking about today. And he's also talking about a heart in which there also resides sin. So, dear ones, the matter of the heart, righteousness, when it comes to the matter of the heart, is impossible through works. May I take you back again? Last week we talked about the scribes and the Pharisees and how your righteousness must exceed theirs so that you can enter into God's kingdom. And you heard that your righteousness does exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. But Jesus continues the same theme in the gospel lesson today. Only Jesus now gets on the inside. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they attempted to justify themselves by showing that they could keep the law, by trying to prove to everyone that their behavior and that their works was the only true good work, that by what they did, they could be saved. The problem is that the laws that they were keeping aren't the laws that we're familiar with. Each and every one of us, we're all familiar with the Ten Commandments. But the scribes and the Pharisees said, those laws aren't good enough. The laws that you must keep are the mitzvot, the 613 additional laws that must be kept to show that you are a righteous person. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes were really, really good at keeping the mitzvot. But when it came to the Ten Commandments, well, we'll hear what Jesus says about that this morning. Jesus tells us that when we have anger in our heart, that's the same as murder. Now, the scribes and Pharisees would tell you that they have never killed anyone. And that may apply to each and every one of us here this morning. You and I have never physically killed anyone. Therefore, there are some who think, well, since I physically never killed anyone, then I have kept the fifth commandment. I'm good to go. Everything is hunky-dory with me. They also thought that if they've never abused anyone, if they never spoke evil of anyone, they've also kept the fifth commandment. Why, they would teach that they live in peace with everyone. Well, the only way that the scribes and Pharisees could live in peace with everyone is that they avoided everyone. Dear friends, they also taught about divorce. In our adult Bible class this morning, we talked about the sixth commandment and the importance of the sixth commandment and what it truly means. The sixth commandment tells us that God instituted marriage. And when God instituted marriage, he never, ever spoke of divorce. Divorce was a result of the hardness of the human heart. As a matter of fact, the scribes and the Pharisees taught that it was easy to get a divorce. As a matter of fact, a divorce was so easy. All they had to do is write a little piece of paper, have two witnesses, give it to the wife, and it's done. And they could divorce for any reason, ladies, even if they made a coconut cream pie. Grounds for divorce. Even if, gentlemen, they burned your favorite steak. Grounds for divorce. God never intended it to be this way. God intended that marriage be between one man and one woman, and that that union be for life, and let man not separate. But because of the hardness of the heart, because of the evil of the heart of men and women, there's divorce. God also said that you're to carefully use my name, and the scribes and Pharisees, oh, they would be the first to tell you, I never take God's name in vain. We never even take an oath, as a matter of fact, in God's name. You see how just perfect we are? We honor God because we keep all of His laws. They, therefore, had no problem telling you, and they would have no problem telling us today, that they are the pious, that they are the religious, that they are the holy elite, because they keep the law. But what does Jesus say? The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Jesus says, if you have anger in your heart, if you call your brother Raca, which means blockhead, by the way, that's the same as murder. For in your heart, you have conspired. You have premeditated the death of your neighbor. Jesus says, if you have lust, if you look at a woman with lustful intent, and by the way, ladies, this also applies to you, that's adultery in and from the heart. Divorce, as you've heard, never commanded by God. Divorce is a result of sin in and from the heart. Taking an oath. Yes, maybe you never take an oath in the name of God, but it's still a sin because it's in and from the heart. For everything belongs to God. God is the Creator, and we're not to take oath. Rather, we're to say yes, or we're to say no, and leave it right there. You see, Jesus makes it impossible, dear ones. Jesus makes it impossible to find comfort in the law. The law will not save you. The law, rather, destroys you and condemns you into the fires of Gehenna, hell. Jesus Himself said it. And if Jesus said it, then it's the truth. Now, it's interesting to me that this past week, I heard a radio commentator talking about the love of his heart. That he has great love in his heart, but the evil and the problems that he has, they all originated in his head. But the heart, the human heart is full of love. There is no problem with a human heart. Well, either he doesn't know the truth, or he doesn't know the truth, because he's never looked at God's word. Jesus says just the opposite. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, from out of the person's heart, that comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come inside from the human heart, and these defile the person. I think I'll believe Jesus and what the radio commentator said. I'll just turn him off. You see, dear friends, it is the heart that's the problem. As we've just showed your children, yes, the world likes to talk about love, and the symbol that they always use is the heart. But rather, we Christians, we should not use the symbol of the heart. When we talk about love, our symbol should be the cross. For as your children saw and as you saw, here's the perfect symbol for love. Jesus wants true repentance, dear ones. He wants true repentance. He wants true repentance of all your sin. And he wants this repentance to be in and from the heart. Scripture tells us, sacrifices and offerings I do not desire. What I do desire is a broken and contrite heart. For God knows from inside the human heart, as you've just heard, are all the evils of the world. Yes, those deeds do convict us for sure. But also those thoughts and those words which don't originate in here, rather they originate in here. So God's law is clear. If you do not repent of your sins, you have no hope of forgiveness. If you do not repent, it's loud and clear, dear ones. Jesus is calling for repentance. Come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give unto you, just as he says, he will give unto you the forgiveness of all your sins. For he has taken your sins and nailed them to this great symbol of love. By the way, may I add, just by you trying to be good, just by you looking to be good in the sight of anyone, that also calls for your repentance. For that in and of itself is also evil. For there is no man who is good, only the Father who is in heaven. So what about our hearts then? What hope do we have? Since all this evil is in our heart, there must be a medicine, there must be a remedy, there must be a way for our hearts to be cleansed, for us to stand, to be able to stand before a holy and just God. Since we can't do it by ourselves, we must have help. So the Holy Heart only comes in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus and only Jesus makes you and me good. Jesus was the only righteous man to ever live. And his righteousness, he is given to you as a free gift. Paul writes to the Romans and says, For as by the one man's disobedience, that one man's disobedience was Adam, the many were made sinners, that's you and me. So by the one man's obedience, that's Jesus, the many, that's you and me, will be made righteous. Thus Jesus took all your sin, each and every one of your sins. It doesn't matter how great or how small, for all sin is the same. Jesus took all your sins and nailed them to the cross. Isaiah reminds us of this 700 years before it even happened. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Thus, Jesus freely and wonderfully gives to each of you his righteousness through faith in him. My dear friends, that faith and that righteousness isn't given here. Here is where your sin was taken. No, your faith and your righteousness is given over there, the baptismal font. There, water and the word joined together is poured upon you and your sin is washed away. And you are claimed as your Father's dear child. Just that, and that's exactly what happened last Sunday with our dear Cooper. He is now God's dear child. He has been given faith. He has been given righteousness. And he, in the sight of God, is no longer a child of perdition, but he is, as a matter of the heart, holy, righteous, justified in God's sight. As a matter of fact, God tells us, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins have been washed away, not only in the waters of holy baptism, but your sin is washed away each time you're in this place and you hear of what your Savior has done for you here on his cross. Each time you come here, dear friends, to this altar, you receive his body and blood, and it's his blood that washes you clean. We see the same thing in the book of Revelation. For the robe of the saints is dipped into the blood of the Lamb, and it comes out white as snow. It's the blood that purifies you. It's not our works, it's not the law, and it's not us attempting to keep the law. Therefore, you are declared, just like a judge would declare, you are declared not guilty before the sake and because of what Jesus has done for you. What God has done for you, what God continues to do for each of you. You see, your lives are now empowered. You're now empowered to do good for your neighbor, but that goodness is in accordance to what you do. No, you are just, you are godlier, even more godlier than the Pharisees, but your motives are not yours. Rather, your motives are by God's grace and his righteousness. You are holy. You are dutiful right now because the power is not from you. It's not from self-pride or self-righteousness, but it's by God's grace and his righteousness. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Exactly what happened with our dear brother last Sunday. The old was washed away and he was given newness of life. The same with you and me at our baptism. Therefore, God declares you good, not man. It's God who declares you good. It's God who declares you justified. And the matter of the heart is, the matter of your heart is that you are now righteous because of what Jesus has done for you. So therefore, I close with these words from the book of Ephesians. The same words that you heard last week. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Dear friends, you have been saved. You have been reconciled to God. You have been given newness of life, all by the grace of God, and all because of his love, because of his love for each and every one of you. Therefore, I can now announce to you, because of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.